Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello, and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're so very glad that you took time out to join us this evening. And we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for to bring in a couple of our co-hosts. And we're so happy to have you with us. All right, let's go ahead and welcome in tonight's broadcast. Let's start out by bringing in our co-host. Let me go ahead and bring in Sister Naya. Sister Naya, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always a pleasure to have you.
Hello, hello. Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Great. It's a pleasure. Darren Deedy, it's a pleasure and honor to have you on tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you, everybody, for having me again on tonight as well.
All right, we're certainly waiting for some of our other co-hosts to go ahead and press 1 on their dial so that we can certainly bring them in. I also want to say that tonight's broadcast is going to be a very interesting one, and I want to say some things before we get to it. Let's go ahead to the PC State and welcome Ms. J. Ms. J., welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always an honor and privilege to have you.
Hello, everyone, and happy Friday, and I'm glad to be here for once again. Dr. Walker and I quote, he will not just be telling stories, but he will be changing lives.
All right. We certainly thank you for that, as always. Tonight's topic, if you just joined us, are you brainwashed in your beliefs when it comes to religion or anything for that matter? Are you brainwashed? And I want to, just before Ms. J gives the disclaimer that we normally announce, I want to say that there is no time on any of my shows, whether it's a Thursday night show, a Friday night show, or a Saturday show, there's no time that we ever talk against or contrary to the Word of God. I'm a strong believer, spiritual believer in God, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So we're never, if we're presenting questions that may appear to be that way, that is not the case. It's just asking questions that our audience sometimes send me through various texts, emails, things of that nature that they want to know. And sometimes they don't want to chime in to ask questions, so I present those questions. But I am a strong believer in our Creator, God, the Trinity, you know, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So if ever it appears that we're going contrary, that is not what we're doing. We're just basically looking to ask some questions that are thought-provoking, just like children do when their parents are telling them. Sometimes they want to know why. And sometimes, I mean, I've been taught that maybe we shouldn't even question God, but then I've also been shared information that it's okay to ask God. Why can't? If you don't ask, you don't have. If you don't ask, you don't receive. So I just want you all to know that I have a daily walk with God. But I cannot control other people's points of view on the airways on any of my shows. So, Ms. J, having said that, would you go ahead and read the disclaimer, please?
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or leadership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the programming tonight.
Thank you so very much for that, Ms. Jay. We're going to go ahead and invite God into our program. And, Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for the knowledge that you're sharing with us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray now, Lord, as we get into this program, that you will always be the one to lead and guide us. Help us to take from it more than what we've brought to it. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me go ahead and I want to begin by asking one of these questions here. Ms. Jay, I want to start with you and ask a question, brainwashed. I want to kind of ask all three of you all, when we say brainwashed, how do you define, how would you define brainwashed? And then, Sister Naya, I want to go to you next and ask that same question. How do you define brainwashed?
For me, it's when a person tries to succeed in controlling your mind, putting information in your mind, getting you to believe that that is the only way it is, that that is it. And they do that by persuasion, by manipulating you. Sometimes, you know, they get you to yourself, and they don't expose you to other things. They just let you know, okay, apple is always red, and that's the only color that you can find an apple. But if they kind of isolate you and keep you to yourself, and they just control your mind, and you start believing, well, there's no green or yellow apples. Apples are red. So they just take control of your mind, and all the information you're getting, that's what they told you, and that's what you think.
All right. Excellent. Excellent perspective. Let me go with Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, give me your perspective on the word brainwash. How do you see it, if any, different from what Ms. Jay has said?
I have to agree with Ms. Jay. She hit it right on the head with it. To tell you something, you know, purple is purple. And if they try to tell you that purple is not really purple, it's a tinge of blue. I mean, it could be true, but in an aspect, it's just purple. I'm quite sure we've been, you know, told fairy tales throughout our life. But until you get in and seek him and you feel him, you know he's real. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it on my end.
All right, certainly. We certainly do appreciate that. And as we cross over here, let's go. Sister Naya, how do you interpret brainwashed? Sister Naya, perhaps you're on mute. Sister Naya, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute, sorry. What I was saying is that there's only one definition for brainwashed for me, and that's indoctrination. So that's forcing somebody to believe something that's immoral, in my opinion, or something that's not, or something that's abnormal. So that is my definition of what it means to be brainwashed.
Indoctrination. Okay. All right. Forcing. You said use the word forcing someone to believe something
yes.
that's not necessarily true. Okay. All right.
That
very
is
good.
Correct. Yes.
All right. So we've got several scenarios that we're going to be presenting tonight. And we're looking at brainwashing, and I certainly agree with what all of you all have said when it comes to brainwashing. We want to hear your comments out there as well. You can press 1 on your dial at any time to chime in to tonight's topic. Are you brainwashed in your beliefs when it comes to religion or anything? Ms. Jay, do you think that people would actually brainwash people when it comes to religion? I mean, come on, that's sacred now. Why would people want to brainwash you when it comes to religion?
It's sad to say, but yes, and the world we're in, you know, I'm just going to be real. You have a lot of these pastors out there that do it for their benefit or their need, as far as asking their congregation or whatever for money for whatever reason that has nothing to do with the growth of the church or the growth of the spirituality or things they trying to do, it be for his purpose and benefit. And that do exist.
Okay. All right. Certainly. So so when they're doing it for their gain, I mean, but this is religious. This is sacred. I mean, wouldn't you think that if a person is trying to brainwash you and that's their intent, Do you think that they're doing it, that's their intent, or could it be that this is what they've been taught and now they've adopted this or they believe that to be so true that this is how they have to tell the other people because they believe it?
If the person is not a leader, yes, that might be possible. They might be talking in generality to someone and they have some belief from the way they was taught or was told, and that's all they know. Until, you know, because I found out with the brainwashing, people isolate you. They expose you to so much. So this person might not have been exposed to more than what he knows to tell others. So, you know, then once they get out there, people start contradicting what they're saying. I think that's how a lot of people just wake up and say, whoa, did it really? And then they start thinking for themselves. But
okay.
If you're taught and that's all you know.
If you're taught and that's all you know, go ahead, finish your thought, Michelle. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, but if you're taught and that's all for years, because that's all you know for years, so you are brainwashed to think that and that only until you reach a point where you are exposed to more and you can read or find out stuff for yourself.
Okay. Sister Naya, I want to bring you in here. Sister Naya, how do you feel about that? Do you feel that some people intentionally set out to brainwash other people? And if so, why?
Absolutely. I mean, you see it in the news. Let's be real. You know, the news that is out there right now that's being presented, it's not real news. It's they put what they want you to believe on TV. So, yes, for the most part, it's intentional. And it's intentional because there's an agenda behind it. You know, with all these things going on in the world, you don't really know what is truth and what is not. So because we live in a world that is ruled by Satan or the devil, you know, everything, almost everything is going to be a deception and almost everything is going to be intentional. So when it comes to brainwashing, it's real. It's real. It's more of, you know, you weren't really taught that, but you want to teach people that because you have, you know, you have a secret agenda. So, yes, absolutely. To me, it's intentional.
All right,
and then it
so
becomes
there,
real.
Go ahead. Is this real?
No,
go
I was
going
to say, to me it's intentional. But for those that don't really know what's going on, they know better. Like they don't know anything better because that's what they're being taught from someone who intentionally taught that doctrine or whatever that they're trying to portray. So, yes.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, let me go back here. Darren Deedy, so can we be unbrainwashed? Can we be unbrainwashed? If we were brainwashed for 35, 40, 50 years, can we be unbrainwashed? If so, how?
You know, like the last speaker said, if you've been told something for so many years and then you finally see the light, you know, after you see the truth, I believe you can be unbrainwashed. Maybe, you know, you finally awaken and realize things you've been told all your life is not true. So, yeah, it's possible.
Okay. All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. If you're just joining our show tonight, are you brainwashed in your beliefs when it comes to religion or anything? We're going to take a look at some of the scenarios that have come into the studio, and I want to hear what your thoughts are, you all, on these. We'll take the first scenario. This party says, I recall at the age of 17, when an elder in the church said that Christians should not be lawyers because they have to lie. I found out years later when I gave up on my dream of being a lawyer that what the elder said was not true. I think that we have to be careful of being brainwashed by what other people say. Okay, Ms. Shea, let me start with you. That this young person, perhaps at 17, I could see how they could believe that what an elder is saying. They don't know any better, and they're thinking that these elders are actually speaking from God Himself, you know, as an agent of God, and saying that you shouldn't be a lawyer because you have to lie. And then years later, they find out that this is not true. Is that a form of brainwashing?
The elder didn't. It could have been if this particular person had kept continued constantly talking with this elder. But by her making, elder making this one remark, just one remark, and the person took that, that person was not brainwashed. He or she just had a thought in her mind that she didn't know whether it was true or not true. But if she had continued this always every day, sat down and talked to this elder, and she kept talking to her about that, him or her, then she could become brainwashed if it continued. But the one conversation, no.
Okay. No, but I mean, here we are. We're thinking along the lines that, I mean, if you're in church, a 17-year-old hears that, then I'm thinking, and then they don't recount that statement, then it's what, remember, brainwashing, you know, and I know we agreed on what it was earlier in the program, but brainwashing has to do with what you have allowed yourself to adopt or believe. And so if that young person at 17 believes that, then is it brainwashing? Because later they found out that it's not true, Miss Jane. So which is
I'm looking at more so being as confused and not sure. The elder tried to persuade the person, the child, but the child went for years being, well, I'm not going to say it was a total brainwash. You know, she was just still unsure about what the person was saying because the person took it upon themselves right away to continuously try to figure out whether that person was right. The person didn't just sit back and say, okay, I'm not going to be a lawyer because Elder James said you can't do it and then didn't do it. The person reached out and tried to decide or discover whether that was true or not. So she wasn't brainwashed. She was just, to me, you know,
all
just
right.
had was a little right. confused or unsure.
All right, let me read the second part of this now. Okay, so she goes in here and she says 2 years later, that same elder got up and said, we need Christian lawyers. So now, Ms. Jay, what do you say to that? We need Christian lawyers.
So we need Christian lawyers.
Yeah, now he says we need Christian lawyers 2 years later. That's what, you know, so the first at 17, he's saying Christians shouldn't be lawyers because they have to lie. So now, 2 years later, the party is 19, and now he's saying we need Christian lawyers. So what is it? So what else have you seen up there that may not necessarily be true and may not definitely be factual? So that's the part that's concerning.
I guess I'm a little confused as this part two of this question.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the 19-year-old now is saying that we need Christian lawyers.
No, it's the same elder that told them. Remember, this person is at church, 17-year-old. And then
they
attended that church for years. So now at 17, they hear this for the first time, that Christians should not be lawyers because they have to lie. And then 2 years later, the same elder, the young person is now 19, 17 to 19, 2 years later, that now they're hearing this, that, now that elder gets up and he says this statement, we need Christian lawyers.
Well, to me, that 19-year-old will look at that elder and say, I don't think that elder know what she's talking about.
The way to look at it. We're going to certainly ask you to bye. Let's go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 305. We're going to call the first six numbers. We're not sure who's on the line with. We're going to go to Tennessee in a moment or Texas. But let's go to 305-510. Who do we have and welcome?
This is Go Girl.
Oh, Go Girl. Thank you. Go Girl,
I'm sorry, I don't get your number. Good evening. Yes, I'm using my cell phone tonight.
Okay. All right, Go Girl. Thank you for joining us this evening. Go Girl, I mean, you know, tonight we're talking about are you brainwashing your beliefs when it comes to religion or anything? Go Girl, let me start out with you by asking the question, how do you define brainwashed?
Brainwashed is having someone being indoctrinated into something that they didn't necessarily believe in, but they may take a portion of it and embrace it and continue to be a part of the whole piece instead of just, you know, taking on that part. And than just going on and living the way whoever is preaching or telling them that they should be. You know, or it could be, I know some situations where people have gotten involved with really being brainwashed with their spouses, you know. I'm supposed to follow my husband or follow my whatever, and they wind up just, you know, following them. They become part of this situation or this belief or this ritual. So when they just take it, they live it based on what they're being told, and they accept it, not that they originally believed it, but they go with it.
They go with it. All right, we're going to have to stand by. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I say, and from the initiation of it, they knew better.
They didn't
believe that.
All right, let's go to Sir Ben. Sir Ben, thank you for joining us this evening. Sir Ben, I mean, we're talking about brainwashing tonight in religion or anything. So let me begin by asking you, and Sir Ben, it's always good to have you on with us. Let's take a look at Christmas, all right? Now we're saying happy holidays, and some people don't want to hear Merry Christmas. So growing up as a kid, I had the belief that there was a Santa Claus. There was Santa Claus. So was that a brainwashing? I mean, you know, and then I went on to perpetuate that with my own children. So what are we doing? What are we doing, Sir Ben?
We are brainwashing and indoctrinating people to things that are not true. That was a non-truth. It was a tradition that was passed on and on and on. And I'm not saying that you can't do that. You can do whatever you want to. But if you know at some point that it's not correct, then why do we keep doing it? Why do we keep perpetuating something that we know is not true? Is it really for the benefit of our children, or is it for the benefit of the fact that it's become a segment of our lives? So that's why I said we're all liars. I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, but if you are telling something that is not true and you know it's not true and you consciously tell someone something over and over again, that is not just indoctrination. That is actual brainwashing. And then when you come to the truth about what you already know and that person comes to that truth, now they have to do two things. They have to either say, well, you didn't tell me the truth. Or they say, well, you know, it was good enough for them, good enough for me. Therefore, that's where we are. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We got some more scenarios that we want to cover tonight. Let me bring you in. Let's go all the way to Texas, Sister Neela Lewis. Thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. Want to begin by asking you the question. So the man says he takes the wedding vows, or the woman, to forsake all others, till death do you part. Forsake all others. And then one spouse ends up cheating on the next one. Is that brainwashing that you took these vows, but you're not keeping these vows? Help me out with that.
Brainwashing? Well, he wasn't brainwashed. He was asked the question, will you forsake others and just cleave to your wife or your husband? And they said yes. So that wasn't a brainwashed, because they are supposed to do it. It's biblical. So brainwashing is when you are taught false doctrines. So
brainwashing is when you're taught false doctrines? Does it have to be necessarily false? Does it?
Well, yes, because if it's not taught, then they won't. People who are brainwashed will not learn. And so, you know, not even, well, as you said, if it has to be taught, well, it has to be done. You can see the actions of the people who are teaching you. They try to do the same thing that they are telling you, or sometimes they don't even do it because they know it's not true, but because they want you to believe it, then they may just say it and don't carry out the action.
Okay.
But
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're almost out of time, you all, and we got a lot to cover tonight. So I'm going to respectfully ask, if we even, and this goes for myself first, if we can confine our comments to 20 seconds or less, this is very important, you all. We've got a lot to cover tonight. We must get it out. And I want to go right now to Missy. I want to bring you in here. Society, we're going to ask you to stand by, but Missy, I want to bring you in here and ask you this question, get your opinion on it. This woman says, I've been married to my husband for 8 years, but I'm not really in love with my husband, and I'm just there for the sake of the children. Am I brainwashing myself by fooling myself? Miss J, what do you say to that?
She's brainwashing herself as far as she need to stay there for the children, because that might, you know, that's what she's thinking, that that's what needs to happen to make everything right. So in a way, you know, she's thinking something that in her mind she was told you always got problems. You always got to stay with your husband because you don't want your children. Y'all be separated. Your children grow up without a father in the house. So she's probably brainwashed from time prior to being married to do this, you know?
All right. Certainly. We're going to ask you all to stand by. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, are you brainwashing your beliefs when it comes to religion or anything, or simply anything? I don't know if you all are familiar. I'm pretty sure most of you all are familiar with the Piaget and some of the theorists that are out there. And they believe that they talk about Piaget and some of the theorists also had a one of their paradigms was they had a dog that would salivate whenever he heard a bell ring. That dog would salivate. And he salivated because he knew that that was time that food would be presented for him to eat. So that was a conditioning. Then they had an elephant. They had an elephant who was chained. They had chains around this elephant's 1 foot. Then they had him to a tent, and it was a circus. And they had it where the elephant was so brainwashed and conditioned. Now, this is a 3,000-pound animal, so conditioned that they made him feel like he could not, he did not have the power to move his leg. Otherwise, you know, but if he were not brainwashed, that elephant with one leg could bring down that whole tent. So now when we talk about brainwashing, Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here just quickly, 20 seconds or less. Are humans doing this to other humans to condition their minds for their personal gain? Quickly, your thoughts on that.
Yes. Quick example. Go to China, get a baby that's 6 months old, bring him back to the hood in Huntsville, Alabama, let him stay there, go back and check with him in 15 years, and when he talks, I promise you he won't be talking Chinese. He'll be saying things like, yo, bro, what's up? Let's go down to the joint and get some chicken and ribs. That is how it works.
Okay. All right. Certainly, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go in here, and Darren Deedy, I want to give you this one, and I also want to give Sister Naya this scenario, the same one, Darren Deedy and Sister Naya. Let's start with Darren Deedy. This scenario is, when it comes to, are you brainwashed when it comes to religion or anything? I think that you can be brainwashed on anything, especially when it comes down to what you allow yourself to believe when someone else wants you to believe it. Darren Deedy, whatever you want to believe, especially if somebody else wants you to believe it, is that important? Is that the way it works?
Not really. It's something that you must be interested in enough to take flight into that pretend thing that they're pulling you into, but I know I don't think that you can just create it on your own.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go here, Sister Naya. Sister Naya, your thoughts on that? Is it something that you adopt to believe, especially when somebody else wants you to believe that very thing? Where's your power?
Well, I mean, you see this in other cultures. There's actually cultures out there that actually make women believe that they're inferior. There's a specific culture out there that I'm not going to mention that they make women feel like they're absolutely nothing. You know, so if they do something wrong, there's like an immediate repercussion to whatever actions they're doing. But when the man is doing it, it's not a big deal. So the brainwashing really depends on what you want that person to do, what you want them to believe, because once you brainwash somebody, they're under your control. And that's
usually the intent behind it is to control the person. So
okay,
for me,
so,
go ahead,
Cincinnati. Yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm done.
No. So Cincinnati, so when we're saying that when the vows used to be written years ago, and I can remember this, hearing these vows, that the woman's role was to love, honor, and obey her husband. But you
absolutely
don't see that anymore. So was that a form of conditioning, Cincinnati?
No, that's a form of brainwashing. Because first and foremost, the vows that are being recited in marriages or in weddings are not even biblical. They're not
exactly.
even biblical.
Exactly.
So the true vows are what the Bible tells a woman, well, or at least what the Bible describes a woman should be to her husband, or describes a man should be to her husband. So now these vows, I don't even know where they come from. So now when people are reciting these vows, they're not taking them seriously because they have no meaning behind it. There's no value behind it. You recite the
okay.
same thing over and over again, and then you don't even try. So, yep.
All right. So go, girl. Let me bring you in here, and we gotta really move fast, you all, because we're running out of time. We still got more than enough to cover. Go, girl. So when they say the woman is the weaker sex, where does that come from? And is that a form of brainwashing to make women mindset believe that they're the weaker sex? Or is that a physical thing, mental thing, a social thing? What is it, go girl, in your opinion?
In my opinion, weaker can be relevant to what you're actually speaking of. However, because the woman was created from Adam, I think people believe that she was definitely a lower creature. Her makeup was, remember, they took a rib of his, but God
right.
gave her the bread. So I think that's part of it. And as far as, like I say, the weak part, is it a weaker mind? Is it weaker physically? In most cases, women do tend to be weaker. They tend to be smaller. They have less muscle mass. And their bodies are not built for everything that a man could do. But mentally, in terms of what they can learn, not necessarily weaker.
All right. So then is that a form of brainwashing, though? The question is, you know, to tell you
yes,
that you're the weak thing, that behind every successful man, is a good woman. I mean, why would a woman accept that she's got to be behind a successful man? You know, when God made her from Adam's side, his rib, which made her, did he make her an equal? Talk to me, go girl, quickly, please.
Behind does not mean literally behind him. It means I'm behind you, I'm supporting you. But so
okay.
behind, people may take that as, you need to walk behind, as in some of the Muslim religions, even we know in the Mideast. But it doesn't mean you're literally behind this person. It simply means you're supportive of this person. But in our language, in our social norms, yes, we've probably been brainwashed to believe a lot of that.
All right,
but
I don't think all right, let's bring in Sister Nila Lewis. Sister Lewis, I want to bring you in quickly here. These vows that the people are not, you know, honoring these vows, were these vows written by man, perhaps, to control a woman, to control her? Is that a form of brainwashing? Sister Nellie Lewis, quickly, please.
I don't think they were formed to control. They were formed so that man and his wife could work together and they become one flesh. And that's all God is talking about, that man and woman should be in combination. They supplement each other, and they should do things together and serve God together, raise their children together, and have a family together.
Okay, so Sister Nila Lewis, are you saying that these vows were taken from the Bible? Yes or no? That's a yes or no question. Were they taken from the Bible?
Yes, because God said.
Okay, so when it was reading, a woman's role is to love, honor, and obey her husband like he's her father. Sister Lewis, what is that? What is that? Is that taken from the Bible? You just told me that the vows are.
It says that, it says in the Bible that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And
I asked you a specific question that was that, and look, you said it was taken from the Bible, to love, honor, and obey her husband. The word obey, I've never seen that in no Bible. I've never seen that in the Bible. So, Sister Lewis, is it in the Bible to your recollection or not?
Well, obey, you have to obey somebody in the Lord. Because if the husband is telling or the wife is telling each other to do something that is out of the Bible,
right,
out of God's commandments, you shouldn't obey. It's just like
all right, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. Sir Ben, I've never seen that in the Bible, to love, honor, and obey your husband. Is it possible in your opinion, and we're certainly giving our opinions here and we respect all opinions, Sir Ben, could that have been a form of brainwashing written by men to control women?
Well, yes, it was a form to keep everybody under control because there was a hierarchy of people that was supposed to be. As you know, it was, you know, A, B, C, D, E, and some of us was down toward the bottom. But the whole purpose for that was the way that God intended for it to be, is that men were supposed to be the head of the household and the priest of the household. And as you know, everybody who understands what priesthood is like, you are supposed to obey those who have rule over you. So the factual matter is that, yes, it is in the Bible. It says obey those who have rule over you. If your husband, and if he is the priest of the house, then he has rule over you. And so that is in the Bible. That is biblical. It says, obey those who have rule over you. Now, a lot of times we try to – I'm sorry, I'm over 20 seconds.
Okay. All right. Ms. J, let me bring you in here. Ms. J, I want to ask you this question. I have never seen it in the vows as Sister Nayla Lewis is saying, or Sir Ben. I have not seen that written, the language as written as such. And tell me, have you ever seen it? That the woman's role is to love, honor, and obey, or are we now copying and pasting something in there to have to obey those who have authority over you? But I'm talking about those specific marital vows that you no longer see anymore because women are not accepting that. So why would, if that's written like that in the Bible, why would we change God? Who gives us the authority to change God's writing? And that's why I'm asking you, was this written by man? Ms. J, your thoughts on that?
This is what I'm aware that I'm familiar with. When wedding ceremonies, the ministers are not reading from the Bible. There's a book for the ceremonies, and that's where those wordings are in, that particular book where it talks about the honor and obey. It's wording for ceremonies and stuff. It's separate from the Bible. That's what the ministers are reading from when they are doing the ceremonies.
Yes, I have one of those books. It's
so
called
therefore, that's where that's coming from. Those wordings are not coming from the Bible. It's coming from the wording from this book that man wrote for marital ceremonies.
Okay, so I have one of those books. It's called the one that
I have.
Yeah,
exactly. Then the book that says all that because I have my father's book, you know.
Right.
And
the Nelson
that's what they read
manual. But I can assure you that in this manual, it does not say that language specifically like I just said it. To love, honor,
a woman's
role
is
honor and obey her husband.
It did say that to love, honor, and obey now.
Right. It used to say that in the older ones, but the modern
version
does not say that.
The newer versions, they took it out.
Okay. Sister Naya, I want to bring you in here. Sister Naya, two questions. One. Sister Naya, how do you feel about that language, that you're to love, honor, and obey your husband? And then secondly, are you considered the weaker sex? Are those forms of brainwashing, both of those?
Absolutely not. I don't see it as any form of brainwashing. One thing that a lot of people need to understand is that God is a God of order, okay? There's order. There's always someone who's higher than you, and in the case of the word of God, it is the man that's in authority, and then the woman follows, and then the children. So there is a chain of order that the Bible prefers, and it's always going to prefer a man. So for me, I'm the type of woman that I will love and obey and respect my husband and honor my husband because that's what the Bible says. That is my role as a wife. Now my husband's role is to love me. So that love that he shows me will activate the submissiveness and the respect and the whatever it is that the Bible says. So, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. I think with this generation, there's a problem with this generation. But the old way of living, to be honest, I don't see anything wrong with that. That is my life.
Okay, so you didn't answer the question when it came to the word obey. Would you obey your husband?
The word obey. Yes. That's what the Bible says. You're supposed to obey the husband, but he has to be in the Lord. It has to be in the Lord because if this man.
Okay, so now you adding words. Does the Bible say a woman's role is to obey her husband, or are you using the word submissive to be interchangeable with obey? Are we making this up?
No, the Bible says both of them actually.
Okay, find that scripture and then come back to us where it says a woman's role is to obey, not submit. But obey her husband. I would like you to find that and bring that back to us in the King James Version or anyone that you have. Usually we go by the King James Version. But we're going to ask you to stand by. We've got a lot still to cover. I want to jump over here to, let's go over here, Darren Deedy. Let me bring you in then. Go, girl, we're going to bring you back in, and Sister Lewis is going to bring you in as well. We got another scenario here, and I want to take a look at this one here. Scenario number three here. And let's start with, I think I said Darren Deedy. We'll go to Darren Deedy and then Sister Lewis. This scenario is, it depends, when it comes to brainwash about religion or anything, it depends on how you define brainwash. I think brainwashing has to do with when someone tries to get you to believe something that may or may not necessarily be true, and you end up believing it anyway. All right, Darren Deedy, just go with the flow. Is that... the way, if it's brainwashing, if they said to do it, then I'm going to do it. Is that brainwashing or is that just not thinking for yourself?
I think it's just not thinking for yourself or if that's what you're taught, not changing the subject or anything. But, you know, as a little girls are brought up to honor and respect your husband. And, you know, I'm a 60s girl, so it's like you're all about he's the head of the house, and he's number one, and you're to serve him. And so as you grow up, that's the way, the role that you have, and that's the way you're thinking. So, yes.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Sister Lewis, I want to bring you in here. So, Sister Lewis, the same scenario here. Is this what you believe? Is that a form of brainwashing? Quickly, 20 seconds or less, please.
Okay. It says there in the dictionary that an example of submission is the state of a disciplined animal to his owner. The definition of a submission is something sent in or the act of surrendering. An example of submission is a contest entry. An example of submission is to give yourself up to, you know, maybe give up yourself to the police or something.
Right, to surrender. We understand that, but it does not mean that to give yourself up to a person under authority, but a person, another human being, is not the property of another human being. So help me out with that, Sister Neela Lewis. You're not, a woman is not the property of a man. A man is not the property of a woman. So help me understand that relative to what we're talking about tonight, brainwashing, with what you just read. And a man wrote that dictionary, Sister Lewis.
That may be true, but God, you have, Jesus says that the man represents God. Therefore, that is why the woman should cover her head. So if you notice you're going to church, the man will take off his hat, but the woman should have on her hat or covering because that's how God made it.
Okay.
And we need to go back to old-time religion and submit ourselves to our husband. And husband, love your wife.
Right, so if a woman doesn't have her hair covered in church, now, are you talking about a portion of the hair? Are you talking about covering the whole head with a hat? Or is it like some cultures do, they can't even show their face or their head? What are you saying, Sister Lewis? Because you don't see the young women wearing these, and I say it with all love and respect, that the hats that their parents and grandparents wore.
That is why you have problems in the homes like this because everybody is gone their own way and stopped following the commands of God.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. This is a very interesting one. Go girl. Let me just ask you this question. I'm humbly and respectfully asking. Go girl, when you go to church, are you covering your whole hair or just a part of it with a hat? What are you doing, go girl? I'm just asking.
No, I don't believe that you have to cover your head. And I also understand that much of what we do is a cultural interpretation because I know people from other places, they do believe that a woman needs to cover their head to enter the church. I know when I went to the Vatican, you had to have your arms covered, and of course, whatever you were wearing had to cover your knees. That's a requirement of going into into that building. However, it is not a sin. Whether you cover it or not, it is not a sin. So when we say honor, the interpretation is also between the two people. Your husband may honor you one way, and someone else's husband may not, thriving in the respect or what is due for that particular group. We cannot be, I don't believe we're going to be what we call mirrors of any particular group or any particular marriage or person. But in general, the partnership must thrive in honor and respect. But again, right, just because you don't cover your head, it is not a sin. So
all
whether
right.
you know, okay.
All right. So we're going to ask you to stand by. Sister Lewis, just yes or no, if a woman doesn't cover her hair from maybe a certain generation or culture, then do you find that that's a sin, that would keep her out of heaven? Yes or no? All right, we're not getting Sister Lewis. Hang on a second. Sister Lewis, I'm sorry, now we have you. Sister Lewis, is that a sin
yes.
if she doesn't cover her hair, yes or no?
Well, if we disobey God, then it's a sin.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in for this next scenario. Sister Ben, also we're bringing in Sister Naya. But Sister Naya, we're going to begin with you on this next scenario.
Yes.
I was raised up in a church that did not believe in going to the movies because the pastor would say that is a sin. Is that true or not? Sister Naya. The pastor said it was a sin to go to the movies. What do you say?
Yes, it is. It is a sin.
Okay, explain that to me. How is that a sin?
The reason why it's a sin is because nowadays, if you look at these movies, you watch these movies, it's all about what is the word? Oh, my gosh. It's against our belief, you know. Everything that they're shown in these movies, it's not safe for Christians. So when you go to the movies and you see movies that are literally portraying people as gods, or you see a lot of sexual content, all of those things, it is a sin because there's nothing safe to watch anymore. So when you watch those things, guess what? You're brainwashing yourself to believe that these things are normal. And that's why the world is so wicked nowadays. You know, the truth about purity and marriage and all those things, they're defiled by what we watch in the movies. So it is a sin, in my opinion.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. So, Sir Ben, this party goes to, let's call her Mary Joyce, goes to the movies. She's 21 years of age, goes with her boyfriend. Is she sinning? Does that mean she's not going to heaven because she goes to the movies?
Absolutely, she's not sinning, and that has nothing to do with her salvation. May I continue to respond?
Yes, please.
Okay, in 15 seconds or less, basically, you know, listen, we live in a wicked world. So whether we go to the movies, whether we go to our jobs, whether we're walking out in the parks, there is always going to be things that are going to give us degrading lifestyles. The word is clear. It said be in the world, but not of the world. Do I go to movies? I do. I like movies. I like some of the things upon it. As a matter of fact, I'm in the movies. So I understand the whole process of how it works. I work in the industry. Do I like some of the things they do? No. But also in 2 seconds or less, it is not that the movies were our issues. It's we were our issues in our homes. Mothers and fathers saying they're Christians, living any kind of way, talking about people all the time, they were creating the negativity for children growing up because they're watching them going, mom and dad talking about sister and sister so-and-so, mom and dad doing this, mom and dad doing that. Oh, I don't want to be a part of that. It is not what we think about the world. The world lives inside a lot of our homes, and we know it. We just want to adjust it. And the problem is our children were recording us. They were not recording the movies. By the time they get to the movies, it's already too late.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sir Ben. We appreciate all the comments that are coming in tonight. And, again, we respect all opinions, even when we differ. Ms. Jay, I want to bring you
in.
Go ahead.
Yes. I was just going to say that the Bible does say that we should shun the very appearance of evil.
Of evil.
So when you go wherever you're going, I'm with the brother, you're going to run into evil. Whether you're on your job, whether you're in the grocery, whether you are at the doctor's office, you're going to run into people or things that you believe you that would be sinful for you. Are you to come in contact with them? Yes. Not to be changed, but to perhaps enlighten them by the way you are living. So we can't say that the movies, you know, is defying or sinning. It's simply what you choose to go see. If you're in a building where a theater is, you're in the same complex where that sin is. So are you sinning? No, you're not in there doing that, but you happen to be in a place where it is. So I think it's kind of far for us to decide that we are being sinful if we go to the movies. No, it's what you're going to see that you
decide. All right,
decide.
We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. So now we're, oh, my goodness, this can be kind of confusing because now we're looking at this discrepancies on what we're going to see. So if I go, I mean, Ms. Jay, let me bring you in here. So a movie is not just a movie. What about television? Should we refrain from watching television? Ms. Jay, your thoughts quickly.
I was just thinking that. Movie, TV, any type of entertainment, just being around people, just being around celebrities, just enjoying things. This is all I got to say. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I guess hell is full, with all respect. Hell is full and heaven is empty. You know, that's all I got to say.
Well, we are on a deep one tonight, you all. I mean, we got so much more to cover, and I don't even think we're going to be able to get around to it all. All right, we're talking about, if you just joined us, are you brainwashed when it comes to religion or anything? I mean, it's like, you know, now, okay, here's another scenario, and we're going to throw this one out to Darren Deedy quickly here. Darren Deedy, this scenario is two young siblings, brother and sister, that are now adults, say that their parents confused them in their growing up years. And what happened was they had them thinking that all of the holidays in the United States were pagan holidays. One parent felt that it was, the other one felt that it wasn't. Now the children are saying, we don't know what to teach our own children. Darren Deedy, how do you respond to that, just quickly here?
Oh, I'm confused because I wasn't raised that way. Again, that would be a form of brainwashing.
Okay, all right, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, so certainly now, let me go back here. Now, Sister Naya, to teach your children about Christmas, I mean, is that brainwashing them? Santa Claus? I mean, was I wrong to tell my kids, okay, there's Santa Claus, put this gift up under there, and my kids were smart enough to know, Dad, there's no Santa Claus. You and Mama put that gift up under here. I mean, what is going on?
The thing is this. We have to understand as Christians we're supposed to be separate from the world. So our beliefs, our understanding, our way of life should be completely separate from the world. So if you're teaching your son or your daughter that Santa Claus is real, and on the flip side, you're teaching them that Yahushua was born on Christmas, which I don't believe that either. I don't even celebrate Christmas. Then you're confusing your children. You have to teach your children the truth, and the truth is in the Bible. So for me, what I don't teach my children, any of those things, I teach them what's in the Bible and strictly what's in the Bible, and that is what is truth. So.
All right. So, Sister Knight, I want to stay with you just for a second and ask a question. If we look at Scripture and you talk about the Bible, then Scripture kind of gives the version of Christ being born around October. How did we come in to December, which is 3 months later? October, November, December, 2 months later. So how did we get there?
I don't know how to answer that. I don't remember reading anything in the Bible stating that Christ was born in October. We don't know when he was born, and I think those are the kind of things we just have to leave alone. We just know he was born, and that's it. But we don't know when. But to me, if the Bible didn't make any revelation of that, then that means it's not important. You know, it's not important what day he was born. It's the mission, the reason he was born. That's what the focus is. So.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. I want to bring in Sister Lewis. Sister Lewis, I want to ask you just real quick here. So, Sister Lewis, is a form of brainwashing if we have a Christmas tree in the home? Yes or no? Is that a form of brainwashing?
It is, because the Lord says in Isaiah 4, Jeremiah 4, that we need to leave that alone.
Yes.
Because it's the heathen who go and cut out, turn their backs against the temple and worship the false gods. And that's one of them.
Okay, so again, I must have missed something. Did you say then that having a Christmas tree in the home is a form of brainwashing?
Yes, because the Bible says it's a sin, it's abomination. They go in the place and they cut out the trees and put them up, stand them up, nail them up, and turn their backs against the
okay.
temple.
All right. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Go Girl, I want to bring you in here just a second. So, Go Girl, if I go Christmas caroling, am I sinning? Help me out, Go Girl. Am I?
No. I know as a Christian, you're not submitting yourself to any particular idea. If I have a Christmas tree in my house, I'm not using that tree to turn my back or say that, yes, this is the birthday of Christ. His birthday, just like she said, we don't know. But we can acknowledge that, and the world acknowledges it with Christmas. Do I believe in that? No. But I do, during the holidays, I will decorate a little. I don't mind giving a gift. I don't go out of my way. I do not go in debt for any of that. However, if I am in the office with my coworkers and they're having a holiday, as you say, they don't call it Christmas giveaway, or they exchanging gifts, what's wrong with me exchanging a gift? It doesn't say that I believe in Santa Claus, and that's it. That's the time we exchange gifts. It happens to be with the world doing it during this time, and it's simply saying that I am participating in this gift exchange. It has nothing to do with me believing or representing a Santa Claus.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're almost out of time before we bring the show to a close. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. Looks like they're telling us that we might end up doing a part two on this one. We're just running completely out of time, you all. Sir Ben, and looks like we're going to have to go into a part two on this one here. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here and ask you the question. So this brainwashing stuff, I mean, I could see how a lot of people could just be simply confused and they don't know what to believe. Sir Ben, what are your thoughts on that? You don't know what to believe, whether somebody said it in church, somebody's put it in a book. You just don't know what to believe. Is that contributory to why we have so many different denominations and religions? Your thoughts, Sir Ben?
Well, absolutely.
And then we'll have Ms. J. close us out with just this part one.
A lot of it is just due to assimilation. We want to assimilate with people who look like us, think like us, act like us. And so that's where we all kind of collectively go together. And this is no condemnation on nobody. We are going to be individually judged. We are not going to be judged as a group, collectively, none of that stuff. So we have to make sure as we get older, we mature, Because remember, it's a maturity thing. When you're young, it says when I was a boy, I act like a boy. When I become a man, I put away boyish things. So there's some things that are just given to us. There's just some indoctrination that's given us. There's some brainwashing that's given us. But when you come of an age and you understand these things, then you should put away those things. I'm going to give you a simple term. My mother, when we were younger, used to tell my older brothers and sisters, if somebody hits you, you hit them back. Okay, that was how they were raised. If somebody hits you, you hit them back. My mother, when I was born, because I'm 10 years my junior than my other siblings, when my mother came around, she said, oh, no, that doesn't work because that can get you in a lot of trouble. So she taught me a different methodology. It was still a form of you know, conditioning. She said, no, son, you got to know how to be quiet, keep your mouth shut, and try to walk away from anything that's going to create problems and harm you. So what I'm saying is, was she wrong in that? No, at that time, it was a necessary need. When she got to me, it was a different necessary need. So what I'm saying is, brainwashing is necessary for some things, and then as you move into maturity, it's not no longer necessary. You can put away those things.
Wow. Well, interesting. Very interesting perspective. Wow, that's interesting. We're going to address part of that. But then if you'll hold on to that thought next week, that brainwashing is necessary for certain things. Wow. That is deep. Ms. Jay, go ahead and close us out on tonight's topic, and we're going to have to move into a part two. Tonight's topic is brainwashed when it comes to belief, when it comes to religion, or anything. Ms. Jay, close us out, please.
All right. Tonight was deep. Y'all remember, you have control of your mind. The control, you can control your mind to be brainwashed or not brainwashed. And I see now that social influence and spiritual belief can be powerful. So I'll say to y'all tonight, you know, stay exposed and knowledgeable to life situations. Be your own self. Use your God-given mind to think, believe, and make your decisions. And don't fall prey, P-R-E-Y, to people and their beliefs. Many out there fall for their needs and benefits, but all I got to say is brainwashing comes in so many forms, so just be aware of it. That's it.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I'm going to ask you to join us here tomorrow morning, 6:30 or 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking about our theme is how to be more connected to interpret spiritual language for our youth. All right, you don't want to miss tomorrow's program. Join us here tomorrow morning, 6:30 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow's program, join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show or next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program. We certainly trust that this program has been a blessing to you, and we look forward to you telling others about the broadcast, and we certainly respect all opinions, even though we may differ on them. Listen, until tomorrow morning or until sometime next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless. And thank you, God. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful holiday week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you for the great show, great closing, and great show.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you all. Keep safe and keep well, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy Sabbath that's coming on.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you. God bless you, too.
No.